Hi everyone, this is Greg here, and welcome to Just a Meme podcast, where we chat about the future of making money on the web. Today, we have Will and Dulce joining us from Immerse Space, where they are building a truly decentralized metaverse. Welcome, guys.
Thanks, Greg. Really excited.
Hi, Greg. Thank you.
Jumping right into the questions, tell us a bit about yourselves and your journey so far. I'd be interested to hear.
Yeah, well, you know, our team, we originally met, I don't know, 3 years ago at a hackathon in Silicon Valley. It was for, what did they call it back then? It was before they called it Immersive Web.
It was a WebXR Weekly or the WebXR Meetup, wasn't it?
Yeah, the WebXR Meetup, which is a confusing term. XR doesn't have an official definition. You can kind of think of it as meaning extended reality, but I found out at one of those meetups, the secret is that they took the VR for virtual reality and the AR for augmented reality and stacked them on top of each other and said, that looks kind of like an X, we'll call it that.
Okay, interesting beginning.
they also like to say it's that variable. The X is a variable, you know.
It can be anything. Reality. Yeah. Okay, cool. Very meta.
we met at a hackathon and we built a battle royale melee game called Ars Attacks, and we did it over a weekend and we actually won the hackathon. And Will and Quinn like just did this amazing configuration to get multiple devices all working at the same time. So we had people in Magic Leaps, we had people in mobile devices, on desktop, in VR headsets, all playing this battle royale melee game on WebXR.
Wow, that's quite something in a weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely standing on the shoulders of giants of open source projects like A-Frame, which is from Mozilla, a framework for building immersive web experiences without needing a whole lot of advanced coding knowledge. But one of the really unique things we did in this project was we had a different mode of play depending on what kind of device you were coming in on. So if you were on a phone with augmented reality capabilities like an iPhone, your phone would be a magic window portal into this world. And you would be represented by one of the Martians from Mars Attacks. And you would be flying around in the sky by physically moving your phone around. Then wow. If you were in virtual reality, you would be on the ground in this world, immersed, and you would be a government G-man. And so you're on the ground shooting up at these Martians that are people's phones in the same room as you. And then the third mode of play, if you had just a regular laptop or a phone without AR, you got this top-down mini-map view, and you could help or hurt either side, depending on who you wanted to ally with, so, with some superpowers that you could activate on the map. And so we had this chaotic gameplay experience with people standing here in virtual reality pointing up and then people over there moving their phones around and like ducking under tables to try and get the right angle to attack, and then others on their laptop changing the tide of battle. It was really fun.
That sounds mental.
It was a lot of fun. I actually did like a wine and cheese meetup with a group of people here in Los Angeles, and we all played the game and we were playing for hours and laughing and having a ball. And I still have people contacting me, asking me, where is this game? Why did it go away? Let's bring it back. Yeah.
So why haven't you brought it back, actually? Let's dive into that.
Maybe we will.
Yeah, maybe we will. Exactly.
Okay, well, we'll keep that for the future part. Where does the kind of intersection with like crypto, I mean, we've met through Grant for the Web forum, which is a crypto-based thing for anyone who's listening who doesn't know. How did you guys get into like the crypto world, or was this the first kind of exposure you had to it?
Yeah, it's kind of roundabout. It went first through decentralization in general, and that after that experience, I learned about the decentralized social network standard called ActivityPub, and the first big platform on there is called Mastodon, which is an application that's similar in experience to Twitter, like microblogging. You send short notes and you make friends and you share each other's posts. But unlike Twitter, it is run not on one big centralized service, but on thousands of individual services that are all interconnected using a standard protocol. So it's like this, you know, how many times have you met someone and you want to connect with them? And then you have to go through this dance where you're like, oh, hey, what's your Twitter? And they say, oh, no, I don't have Twitter. What's your Facebook? And then you say, oh, I don't use Facebook. What about Instagram? And like, you know, it's just awkward. It goes on forever. And maybe you never even find something to connect on. And this is something we've gotten used to, but it's really, we shouldn't be. Like, it's a terrible situation that we're all separated out in these walled gardens. I like to compare it to email, where imagine if you wanted to email someone and you're like, hey, what's your Gmail? And they said, oh, no, I have Yahoo Mail, so we can't email each other.
Yeah.
Like, it's absurd. We would never stand for that ridiculous wall, but we do it in social media. And so this ActivityPub and Mastodon, what they're doing is proving that it's not a technological limitation. You know, email is way older than social media, and they've always had that interconnectivity.
Yeah.
And now we have like an officially standardized standard from the World Wide Web Consortium. That's what the ActivityPub refers to, which is a way of having that interconnectivity between social media networks. And so I got involved in that with Mastodon. I found a particular instance, we call it, as like one of the individual little communities in the network that is cooperatively owned and operated, called social.coop. Where to fund it, we all pay a small monthly fee based on what we can afford that pays for the server costs and whatnot. And then in exchange for that, we are all equal owners in this platform. And if we need to make decisions about how we're going to run it or moderation, we do that democratically by voting.
Okay, wow. No, I haven't come across it before, actually. It's interesting because we ourselves are building a social network. So it's always good to find new stuff, especially in the decentralized sphere where you can build, like you say, stand on top of giants and hopefully build out the ecosystem a bit more. So definitely check that out.
Yeah. It's called Mastodon. It's a really interesting community. So I was on Mastodon just making random posts one day and thinking about the immersive web and this platform called Hubs, which is made by Mozilla, the makers of Firefox, which allows, it's an immersive web hangout social platform where you can come in with a 3D avatar and chat and visit with people who are in there in virtual reality or in there on their computers or their phones, kind of like our Ars Attacks project. And I just posted one day randomly, it's like, you know, if we took the Hubs platform and we mixed it with Mastodon for the decentralization, wouldn't that technically make the metaverse? Yeah, and then I started thinking, like, wait a minute, this actually could work.
It's really, really elegant and very smart the way that Will has put that together on Emerspace, and it actually was very mind-blowing to me the first time I saw it, because I didn't think that that existed on the web at all. And when he showed me how easy it was to connect and jump in and out of different hub spaces with friends and be in touch, it was just very mind-blowing to me. So, yeah.
Wow. And, okay, so that's so you came at it from, like, probably a more decentralized standpoint rather than what I've usually heard on this, which is Bitcoin was skyrocketing, I got in, lost it all.
Yeah, so the path to the crypto side of it is even more circuitous, I guess. So I started building this, and so, you know, we had, like, the foundation of Emerspace, which is this idea that you can have a virtual world that you set up and run on your own servers, but it's interconnected with other virtual worlds that other people set up, and you can visit someone else's virtual world, make a friend there, and then have a decentralized friends list that shows you where people are throughout the metaverse and give you links to join them. And I started on that, but didn't have, like, a big picture direction for it other than as just like a tech demo, an idea. And then I came across this Grant for the Web project, where they introduced me to this brand new idea of changing how we monetize web content to get away from advertising. And I guess your listeners probably know a lot about this already, but the basic idea is you, instead of having a platform middleman, like, say, if you're a YouTube creator, you make your content, you post it to YouTube. YouTube then takes a cut of the money that you've earned with the content that you made. And they also get a high level of control over you and your content and decisions you get to make with it in the future. Like, they could just one day cut you off from monetization. And if that's your income stream, they can just cut off your income with no explanation, and very little or no recourse. And what web monetization offers is cutting out the middleman, at least the way that I see it as like the primary benefit. And that if you're a content creator, the people who are your customers, your viewers, they're able to pay you directly through another web standard, kind of like how ActivityPub is the web standard that's decentralizing our social media. Web monetization is a web standard for decentralizing and cutting the middleman out of payments. And that excited me in combination with the idea of breaking down the centralized platforms of social media, but also breaking down then and giving economic democracy to the content creators to be truly in charge of the income that they're generating and the content they're creating. And when they're running their own Emmer's space decentralized social network node, there's no one that can tell them, you can't do that content anymore, or we want you to do it a different way. So my wife does food and nutrition and recipe blog, and a lot of her marketing is done through Instagram, which is another centralized tech platform. And they have algorithms that decide who gets to see your content and who doesn't when you post it on Instagram. And it's all opaque and unaccountable, so nobody knows for sure. But the general feeling in the community is that whenever they introduce a new feature, like when they started doing Insta stories, that they would reward people who were publishing Insta story content by also showing their standard content more, and punish people who weren't doing this type of doing Insta story content by showing people their regular content less. Yeah. And so it gave Instagram had this control over how they were creating content now, content creators who were on Instagram, and not just what content they were creating. And so, you know, back to our idea, you know, we're giving you this independence in how you're creating your content. And then web monetization also gives you independence in control over your monetary flow and not having to depend on a centralized service that could take it away from you or change their algorithms and suddenly change your income by a great amount. And how we got to crypto actually was a surprise. I did not realize it had anything to do with crypto when I read all of the materials for the grant and applied for it. And it wasn't until later signing up for the service that I realized, underneath all this, the way that it's running is through a crypto network.
Oh, cool. I think it's an unusual path that is definitely not the prescribed route, like I say. but no, that's wicked. And Dolphe, were you kind of in the same boat, or was it just Will kind of was an application to grant for the web that kind of brought you in?
Well, definitely the grant for the web has got me rooted deep now into crypto, and I'm more excited about it and more interested in looking to buy some coins myself. But I do have like high level understanding of blockchain and cryptocurrencies because I worked for several companies in the past that dealt with startups doing crypto. So it was an exciting opportunity to jump in this project as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Immerseface, you're saying you kind of have your own node. I don't know why, but when I picture that, I'm picturing someone basically builds a room that they can showcase their content in. And the web monetization ties in when you say you land in that room and you can maybe see bits if you have the web monetization coil plugin to allow that. That's how I just immediately jumped to picturing it, like a gallery of stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly it. Like, you have a space now. It's a virtual space that people can visit from anywhere, but it's represented in three dimensions like a space, and you can invite people to join you in there and hang out. And how we're integrating web monetization, it takes quite a bit of tech to run a virtual space on the web, and it has some hosting costs associated with it. And so we want people to be able to make interesting immersive web content and have that be financially sustainable for them. So we're looking, we're experimenting with a bunch of different freemium type models to see what fits best with immersive web content. One of the first most obvious ones is the capacity of the room. If you're the host of this space, you define what the virtual space looks like, but then when people visit, they can be partitioned off into different like clones of it. That's just them and their friends, even though the space it's not necessarily just like a royale with strangers that you're interacting with. There's costs, there's direct costs with how many people are on there at once is going to cost you more in server costs. So one of the things we're experimenting with is we'll put a cap on the number of people that can be in a room together, and that cap increases based on the number of people that are contributing with web monetization.
Yeah.
A really well-established model for freemium content in 3D and gaming spaces is like personalization, like hats and stuff. And
yeah.
I think the kids do in Fortnite these days. And so we're looking at, if you create a space, you can also create some custom avatars that are only available at your space. And you can make those locked so that someone has to be coming there as a paying web monetized customer in order to unlock them. They can then get that avatar and add it to their inventory permanently. And then when they go to other spaces in the immersive web, they can use your avatar anywhere they go.
Okay, which then,
if you created a cool avatar, that's advertising for you. It's people like, hey, what's that avatar? Where'd you get it? And you
say,
got it back over at vrain.space. And you just had to sign up for Coil and you can get the avatar.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, nice.
And that's something that's really fun for me because I love making digital humans. So when... when Will asked me to jump on this because we're going to be making avatars and rooms, it was an exciting prospect
and what's kind of like the grand vision for this, because in my mind I've got like RuneScape in my head, but you're kind of running around as a 3D avatar like jumping in and out of people's spaces, but maybe that's probably a bit down the line.
that is where we're going. We'll have a platform, it's all open source. You could deploy it and have a space that's all yours and customize it, and people could run and jump in and out with their avatars and hang out. We'd really like to see more creativity. A lot of this is inspired by the early web, the web 1.0 days, before we were all on these rigid platforms that told us you have to communicate in 240 characters. And such, but there's a lot more creativity where people would just make a website in HTML just to see what they could do. And so the web was more adventurous and more creativity, and we're inspired by that. We want to bring it back. So we'd love to see people creating experiments and experiences and games and art installations using this platform so that every immersive space you go to is a different and unique experience.
And I'd like to illustrate the difference between what we're doing and what maybe Facebook Horizons is doing. We have the same kind of motto as Horizons, where we want people to come in and experiment and create spaces and invite friends and do all those wonderful things and interact. But we want to have them paid for those things as well. And we want them to feel like they have agency over the spaces that they're creating. And it's open, and anybody can come in and do this. Where Facebook Horizon, it's velvet roped. You have to be invited in. When you do go in, you're not given your own home per se, but you're prompted to start creating worlds and start creating. And people are creating, and they're creating these amazing interactive spaces in Horizon, but it's all under the umbrella of Facebook. You're not getting paid for it. And at any time, Facebook could kick that person out, and now all their creations are in this world that they no longer have access to. And that's something we don't want to encourage or put out there in the world, Facebook likes to give tool sets to their creators and make them feel like they have agency over their creations, when in reality they really don't. Facebook can take them away at any time, can deem it not appropriate anymore, take away all their views and all their follows, and I don't think that's really fair for creators. I feel like what Will started with Emmers and invited Kalani Quinn and I to join the team to push it even further. I see so much opportunity here. I see an amazing realm of possibility for anybody who wants to have an immersive space and do crazy cool things online.
Yeah, so, it sounds like a really promising vision of the future. Like you say, like Facebook, the Googles, YouTubes of the world have so much power over everything at the moment. And I mean, it's not just this industry. Before we jumped on, we were talking about like Robin Hood and all the GameStop stuff kicking off. Yeah, I just think
we're for the little guy. We want the little guy to, you know, make it like, you know, we're the little guy. We want to, you know, support people and their initiatives and what they want to do and not stifle people. And it seems like the big hedge funds and the big corporations and even Facebook funneling all the ARVR through their platform, where other ARVR platforms feel like they don't have any, you know, any ability to compete in the space anymore. So they fold or they pivot or they, you know, drop the project completely. And that's really sad. That's been breaking my heart. I've been seeing a lot of startups and companies just dropping their AR departments and pivoting completely into other places, and Facebook just getting bigger and bigger in that space. So yeah, I love what Will is doing, and I'm 100% a champion of Emerspace.
Yeah, that's a core motivation that I don't know if we went into the right way, but you know, we talk about the immersive web, which is these like rich 3D experiences that are on the internet, and you can go to them on a desktop or on a phone, like a video game, or if you've got the virtual reality or augmented reality equipment, you can like go inside of them and really experience them.
Yeah.
And this seems to be the future of the web. Like, I see it as like a transformational change in the web, the same way that social media was. It's like Web 3 is going to be these immersive web experiences. But the problem is that people who are the giants in the social media era, like Facebook, are already making big plays to be in control of the next generation the same way they are as this one. Like Facebook years ago bought one of the two main hardware manufacturers for virtual reality, Oculus. And so our goal here is to get ahead of the game for this next generation of the web and give it a different model. That's not, you know, another toxic ad selling, addictive, attention gathering platform, but is something that brings people together. It's you know, not locking people into platforms, but breaking down the walls between platforms with the open standards and decentralization. Extracting profit sales or profit from store sales from creators, but instead by giving creators the ability to earn their own money. Not hoarding user data, but giving it back to the control of the people who are on these platforms. One of the cool things about a decentralized network that's a bunch of different nodes is you, as someone who wants to be in the network, have a bunch of choice about where you're going to put your information. And you can do one like social.coop, which is cooperatively owned, and you have the ownership and democratic control over your data. Or you can do one of a million different options that's going to suit how you want your data to be respected. And finally, you know, we're not concentrating power in a corporate dictatorship. We have a plan to distribute the control of this next generation of the internet by also offering a democratic collective governance for Emerspace itself, so that both content creators and consumers have the option to buy in as co-op members and get voting rights over what we're doing at the high level with the technology and the standards.
Yes. No, I think it's the way it has to go. There's so many privacy focused companies mix that with the way I see it going by 2030. I think the biggest companies in the world will be gaming blockchain integrated, but they will have a core of privacy, because I think it's so important to the end users now that they've suddenly woken up and kind of gone, okay, there is a serious amount of cash in your data. Like, people should start getting rewarded for that, or at the very least have control over that. And there's so many, I think there's such a huge push now to get the internet back to where it was in like version 1.0 of the internet, where it was decentralized. And we've kind of gone to 2.0, where it's all kind of siloed and feudal. And now we're kind of coming back out of that into 3.0.
We're also seeing the big giants kind of fight and eat themselves. Facebook and Apple right now are going to go toe-to-toe over privacy and overreach when it comes to offline activity. So, you know, that's going to play out pretty interesting as well. And honestly, let the giants beat themselves up and, you know, crash, and we can pick up the pieces and actually make, like Will said, make something that's worthwhile and for the people.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I think that's really cool, guys. It sounds like an amazing project. I'll drop the links and stuff. But is there anything you kind of like to point people at where they can find out more information while we're kind of on here? Where'd be the best place to get more info and stuff?
Yeah, the homepage for our project is immers.space, I-M-M-E-R-S .space. Yep. And you can sign up for the mailing list and get involved with early betas. I think we totally forgot to talk about the chess game. So part of our
grant, chess game is the best part.
So our project for grant for the web is building out this core technology, but at the same time, like a proof of concept of what could an immersive space, a custom experience be. Right. And so we're building a immersive chess game where you go into these amazing 3D worlds. And actually, I should let Dulce talk about it because she is our artistic director.
Oh, well, I mean, you were doing a good job. But yes, I can say it quickly. I made custom spaces to really highlight the ability of playing chess. So I wanted to make these like giant chess pieces or animated chess pieces. So right now I'm actually working on animating the chess pieces for our Alice in Wonderland room. I had plain chess pieces in there before, but now I'm actually going to have little characters, like real people characters. Oh, cool. That you'll
move. I was going to ask whether it was like the Harry Potter thing. I remember
that.
It'll be
very Harry Potter in the Alice in Wonderland room. Yes, it will be. And you know, we'll have Easter eggs in there, like Will mentioned earlier. We'll have a lot of discoverability in the space. So I make these big maps that you can wander around and get lost in and actually be social in and find things and discover little nooks and crannies. So It's not just the chess game. It's inviting groups of people to come in, play chess, engage, be social, find Easter eggs, participate in monetization and, they're just these fantastical spaces. So I really had a lot of fun making them. And yeah. I felt very honored at being asked by Will to create these spaces. So when he asked me, I was like, it's on. I'm going to make them. I'm going to do it. And I still owe some more spaces to him. And I'm totally excited to create them. You know, I'm like itching to make them. And but I'm working on some client work right now. So that's been kind of sidelining me. But I jumped back in with creating these animated pieces. So, you know, the chess rooms are going to be these crazy, fantastical spaces that you're going to just have a lot of fun in. So, you need to check them out.
And we can get to that through immers.space still. That's the best place. Cool.
Yes, that one. So we actually have, because we want to show like the decentralized network. So immers.space has one node, which is a place where you can decorate your metaverse apartment. And then the chess game is running on a separate one, which is at vrain.space, like virtual rain. So V-R-E-I-N.
Yeah, yeah. I'll link it all in the show notes so people can get a hold of it.
We have one space that you can create a room with right now and play, but it's an alpha. So if you do check it out, just understand that we're still alpha at the moment. It's playable, it's fun, but yeah, there's still like UI stuff that we need to incorporate and
Okay. Wow. That sounds amazing. And it sounds like an exciting project and I can't wait to see what the end of the 6 month grant we have and where you guys get to it, and we'll definitely be following along. So I think wrapping up, I think that is kind of it for today. Thanks to all the listeners for tuning in. Thanks to Will and Dulce. Been really interesting having you here. And like I said, I'm really excited to see where you guys go. I think it's a massive space and growing. And I think you're right, the right time to get into it.
Thank you so much, Greg. Thank you for having us.
No worries. So that's all for today. Thank you for tuning in to Just the Meme, where we talk about the future of making money on the web. Please do get involved, give us a like, send some comments and a review, and please also subscribe to check out the next session and spread the words with your friends. So that's it. Thanks, guys.